Professor Margaret Mutu, kindly with us for a kōrero. Now, the first founding document of this country, Whakaputanga o Te Rangatiratanga o New Tirene, was signed 188 years ago. Of course, we acknowledge October 28 here. And, of course, Margaret has been involved with a whole lot of constitutional study, etc., over the years, and I thought it's relevant that we lock into where this document sits in the makeup of the country we live in now. Thank you for your time. Makari tēnā koe, kia ora anō tu hene.
Kia ora tēo, kia ora tātou katoa.
Thanks very much. What does whakaputanga mean to you, and what do you think it should mean to wider Aotearoa?
Well, for me, Dale, it's a very special document because my tūpuna signed it, and as a result, it's been handed down through my whānau to make sure that we knew what it was about. But for everyone else, it is the constitutional basis of the country that we have now. And that's, when I say the country we have now, that's the country that invited the subjects of Queen Victoria to come in from Great Britain and to live with us peacefully. But the thing that the Whakaputanga did was it explained to those what were visitors at the time, Pākehā visitors at the time, where authority, where power, where sovereignty lay in this country. And the reason why that had to be stated was because the Pākehās who were here at the time, and there weren't many of them there in 1835, you know, a bit over 1,000, maybe 1,500 of them, but quite a few of them were very, very lawless. And that's a polite way of putting it. There were a bunch of them around Kororareka in Pewhairangi, around the Bay of Islands, and Kororareka these days is often known as Russell. And they were just completely out of control and running amok and just simply not listening to the mana whenua. Because, you know, whenever you go into another country, you abide by the laws of that country. And the laws of our country were very clear. They were exercised by the hapū, and those Pākehās who were coming in had to abide by them, but they weren't abiding by anything. So as far as our people were concerned, they were just very uncivilized, savage people. And you needed to say to them, hey, come on, this isn't on. This is not how human beings live. You do need to abide by the laws that are here. But they weren't listening. So some of our people went and visited the English king. That's what the missionaries by and large were okay. They weren't going around murdering, cheating, thieving, that sort of thing that the others were doing. And so the missionaries advised, because the question that our tūpuna asked was, well, how do you keep these lot in control in your country where you come from? And they said, oh, we have a king, and that's who keeps them in control. So off they went to visit the King of England at the time and saw that he did know how to control them. But it was a diplomatic visit, and they said they formed a diplomatic alliance with the King of England. And then when they came back here, because what they asked was, can you please send us someone who can explain these people to us? And so you had the British resident here. And the British resident suggested that you write up a document stating the obvious, stating where power, authority sits and who makes the decisions and who makes the laws in this country. And that's what He Whakaputanga o Te Rangatiratanga o New Tirene, that's what it does. It's a statement that sets out the fact that all power and authority, sovereignty it's defined as in He Whakaputanga, sits with the hapū and with the rangatira, and that nobody but nobody else can make any laws in this country except the rangatira of the hapū. And then it goes on to talk about the fact that They're going to meet each year at Waitangi to make laws, to make sure that peace is held, to make sure that there is justice, and to regulate trade, because, of course, that was going on as well. And then they said that they would send this, a copy of this, to the King of England, thanked him for having recognised their flag. And people will know the flag of that goes with He Hakaputanga. The group we were dealing with here, the group of rangatira, they'd been meeting for, you know, 20-odd years trying to sort out these lawless pākehas. That group was known as Te Hakamininga, o Ngā Hapū o New Tirini. And Te Hakamininga, the flag that was agreed to and then also agreed to by the King of England, is actually known as the flag of Te Hakamininga. Now, Te Hakamininga's flag, and that's the flag you'll see at Waitangi flying alongside the Tino Rangatiratanga flag, is the flag of Te Hakamininga. Now, it was that flag of Te Hakamininga had been agreed to because we were trading between here and Australia, we were trading all over the place in the 1800s with the big ships that we've got off the pākehā. And they kept getting stopped and interfered with by pākehās because they didn't have a flag to fly. Well, that's all right. The Hakamininga came together, asked the pākehā reason, what do you do about a flag? And they agreed with this thing will do. All you do is you hang this colourful thing at the front of your ship and nobody will interfere with you. So that's what they did. And it meant that their trading could go on ahead. So that was part of what they were doing it for. They were also doing it because others were coming in and threatening to take over the country. There was a Frenchman coming in. So they issued the statement thanking the King of England for acknowledging their flag and saying to him, we think that you need to send us an ambassador as well who has formal standing in this country who can explain to us what your people are about. Because we are the ones having to look after these people, and we're having a bit of trouble, so can you please send us an ambassador? So that is what was in He Hakaputanga. And that was what was issued to say to pākehās, this is the state of power and authority of sovereignty in this country. It was translated into English, didn't get it right, of course, in all parts, but by and large it was okay. In the English it still said, sovereignty lies with the chiefs of the hapū, or the tribal groupings, I can't remember what they called it in the English.
Hardly painting a picture of noble savages or, you know, people who are disconnected. Our exporters of those times had some savvy, and they had some swagger about them too. So, you know, it's important that we note this document in our nation's history. Just finally, because it's a very interesting kaupapa, it deserves more time than we have today, Makete. But why is it conveniently disregarded by many?
That's a very good question. So pākehā always tried to say, yeah, it was signed, but it didn't actually mean anything, and they tried to pretend it didn't exist. Well, the problem with that was that their own archivists kept it, and it was there in the archives in Wellington, and the archivists, you know, made sure that everyone knew. But what was so important about it, Dale, was that that was the basis upon which the treaty was entered into. And the treaty actually refers to He Hakamininga, and to the sovereignty, which in He Hakaputanga is referred to as rangatiratanga. In the treaty, it's upgraded to tino rangatiratanga, absolute and paramount power and authority to be protected by the Queen of England in the treaty. So without He Hakaputanga, you can't have tichirichi. Tichirichi is sort of like an addendum to He Hakaputanga. But He Hakaputanga is the base document. And that's why it is the basis of the constitutional arrangements in this country. Without He Hakaputanga, and of course without Te Tiriti, pākehā have no right to be in this country.